Hey there, welcome to The League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. I'm Shanaz, I'm here with Brooksy, which is a podcast commonly referred to as the lockdown life, the life that we are living currently. We hope for not too much longer. Brooksy, how are you going?
Good, mate. Seventh episode since last Monday. That's got to be, I reckon we've got to get Guinness on the line soon and see how we're tracking for the record.
Wouldn't mind a drink either. Brooksy, I've got a quick story for you.
You like stouts? I didn't think you're a stout guy, Schnaz.
No, I'm a lager man. Yeah, that lager.
Yeah, sometimes cider.
No. Nah.
Reference for the office fans out there.
At the supermarket, like I often am after or before we podcast, and yeah. Lovely young person at the checkout asked me how I was. Yeah, good, thanks. And then she wanted to have a conversation, but she had the face mask on. And I could not hear a word she was saying. So I was doing the, what's that? It was totally low talker Seinfeld. But it went on for like three or 4 minutes. And I felt so bad because she told me how long the hours were for her and how hard it's all been. Yeah. I was very sympathetic. But I thought of you because I was like, oh, if only Brooksy was here to see this. I couldn't hear a word she was saying.
Did you agree to wear a puffy shirt? Did that happen?
I didn't, thankfully. What I can hear loud and clear is you on the other end.
Yeah. Yeah, Schnaz, I was going to throw something back to you.
Sure.
I was at Woolies the other day and accidentally bought three of certain things. Tried to buy three of certain things. Did you get caught up in that situation?
No, I'm a person who goes by the law of the land and the court systems, and I only got two milks, two breads, two et cetera's.
Pastas. Right. I actually didn't realize there was a Noah's Ark sort of situation happening at Woolies at the moment. And I grabbed three milks because I'm trying to do smoothies of a morning. And, you know, your milk runs out. I drink a lot of tea. I like my tea stronger. So I don't think that's where in the pie chart of milk consumption, it's not really going into the teas. But I tried to drink three milks, three blueberry bags, pardon the alliteration, and two-minute noodles. So 6 minutes worth of noodles you can't get at Woolies at the moment, Schnaz.
And this proves my point that you think everything's A-okay and I think it's the end of the world. So today, I win the argument. I'll tell you what is debatable, though, and that is our topic for today. We're going to get straight into it, Brooksy. And
let's do it.
Simply the best. We have two words for you.
That's super, three, isn't it?
Super. Here we go. Super League.
Super League. What a war it was, Schnaz. Where do you start? Where do you start? Where do you finish?
I'm hoping you have a place.
We're going to try and do it justice over the next 30, 40 minutes. We'll see how long we go. But having a look into it, I thought, you know, I wanted to try and see what led to April 1st, 1995, which was 25 years ago. Crazy. Yeah. And talk about for people, I know some of our friends and family that listen to the podcast might not be up to speed with what happened with the Super League War. So it could, let's go back into when, I guess, rugby league heads were sort of envisioning what ended up happening. So you have to go back to 1973 when the New South Wales Rugby League head at the time, Kevin Humphreys, he wanted amalgamation. He talked to the Herald back then about cutting Sydney teams. So 12 teams at the time wanted to cut it down to 6 teams. And wanted to add teams from other areas outside of Sydney, namely Brisbane, Canberra, Newcastle, Wollongong, and Wagga Wagga, which was surprising. But a rugby league heartland nonetheless, Schnaz.
Yeah, that's true.
So that was the initial sort of chat like that I could find in history where the New South Wales Rugby League wanted to sort of start moving outside of Sydney. Because as we know, 1908, the first season of the New South Wales Rugby League, the Sydney competition, as it was, like you had teams like Annandale, you had North Sydney, Glebe. You had South, Glebe, you had the Eastern Suburbs, Roosters. There's just, It was very city-centric, and up until the 1970s, you could see that there was a push there to start moving outside because the competition was obviously growing and people from outside of Sydney started enjoying the competition. You mentioned in our last podcast that there was a mid-season competition, the KB Cup, Amco Cup, Panasonic Cup, and there was a Brisbane combined team that came down and challenged for that. I can't remember what year it was, Schnaz, but one of the teams, I think it was in the late 70s, one of the teams made the finals. I think it was around then. Anyway, don't quote me on that one. Didn't really look into that side of things. But then expansions outside of Sydney came in the early 80s, which was great for some fan bases, namely in the ACT and the Illawarra region. So Wollongong got a team, the Illawarra Steelers, hoorah, and the Canberra Raiders. Yeah, so 82 was an interesting time. And then 83, the next year, was a year where we saw two teams kicked out of the comp, the Newtown Jets and the Western Suburbs Magpies. West fought the decision in court and won. But in a couple of years' time, back when in 82, when teams were sort of, when the competition was looking to expand, they saw Campbelltown as a growth region. So West in 87 decided to move out to Arana Park in Campbelltown. Great location. The West Tigers still play there now.
Brooksy, just to jump in, 1979, yeah. Brisbane lost to the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks.
It was 79, was it? There you go. Which cup was it, Schnaz? Was it the Amco Cup?
It sure was.
It certainly was. And finally, you opened up your cupboard. Your trophy cupboard. Oh, sorry. Anyway, we'll digress. and it was funny because, like, reading in some of the articles too, it looked like Ken Arthurson, who was the head of the New South Wales Rugby League, he wanted a similar sort of thing around the mid-80s that Kevin Humphreys identified. He wanted less teams in Sydney and to keep this expansion going. We saw a few years later that Brisbane and Newcastle came into the competition in 1988, which pushed the league from 13 teams to 16 teams. It was great. I was on the Gold Coast shortly after the Giants.
Yeah.
Giants came into the competition. It was great. I remember, you remember that era of like the late 80s collecting the pink footy cards with the Scanlon's gum?
Do I remember? It's my era.
Great.
I was shining, man.
Yeah.
I was a young boy shining in a life that had yet to disappoint me. Although 88, oh boy, minor premiers and then out disappointment.
The straight sets, was it, Schnaz?
Oh, yeah.
There's been a bit of a rocky road for Cronulla so far up until 1988 in our podcast so far. But 1988, 16 teams, Brisbane came in, the Knights, it was great. We were starting to expand throughout New South Wales and finally got into southeast Queensland with the Bronx and the Giants. 1992 was the next big time that I can find in terms of this chat about expansion and condensing the Sydney team. So the Bradley Report came out. In the report, it said that it's likely that Sydney will not be able to sustain 11 clubs. So it was 11 clubs at that time without the five teams that had currently expanded into the New South Wales Rugby League, and that they'd need to reduce that number to five clubs, Schnaz. Like that's five mergers and then you've still got one left over. So it would have been information that wouldn't have gone down too well. He was looking at the Bradley Report also suggested that 14 teams in total, which would allow for a home and away series of 26 games, which would be a very fair competition leading into finals.
And that's my dream come true, as I've said on all seven episodes. Although 26 weeks is way too long.
Yeah. Then the following year, 1993, you see Broncos CEO at the time, John Rebo, starts getting amongst it. Yeah.
John Rebo Dobrezhniak.
Dobrasek. Yeah.
Whatever.
Dobrasek. Yeah. Anyway, John Rebo, as he's in rugby league circles, he started proposing some crazy crazy stuff, Schnaz. Yeah. One being moving the ARL Grand Final to QE2 Stadium in Brizzy. Remember, that's where they had the Commonwealth Games, and the Broncos started playing games there in around that time, and moving from Lang Park, and it fit 60,000 people. And his argument was, we can fit more people in, we'll sell it out, more than the 4,000 that we were getting at the SFS. Obviously, the SFS was only up and running 5 years at the time, so again, probably something that got knocked back due to it being something from outside of Sydney and having the new stadium, which is now flattened, Schnaz. Big dirt hole in Moore Park there. 94, you get the rumbling start happening with Super League. News Corp, who have a vested interest in the Broncos, come up with a proposal for a Super League competition. And John Rebo starts discussing that competition with some of the high-profile players at the Broncos about a potential new competition, and the big lure of that being greater salaries for players. And this was all just before the league starts to expand again, Schnaz. 1995, four new teams come in, three different areas, one that we'd already been in. So we got Auckland, we got Townsville, the North Queensland Cowboys, and Perth getting the Western Reds. Three new big areas that they wanted to expand into, and they put a second Brisbane team in, the South Queensland Crushers, who played out of Lang Park. So interesting times leading into 95. Obviously, these teams had had bids that had been accepted leading into that season. But, yeah, this was the start of things going awry and the war. So late March, and there's some secret meetings being held. One in particular that was quite iconic in late March, which was the Bulldogs. Bulldog stars were the first to sign contracts with Super League. There was a secret meeting held in the Rocks, and which instigated a federal court action by Super League against the ARL, New South Wales Rugby League, and clubs, alleging breaches in the Trade Practices Act. That was March 30, and then April 1, 1995, there was a board meeting between there was a ARL board meeting, and Peter Moore stood down from the board. And it was also at that time that Canberra, Canterbury and Cronulla had to show cause why they shouldn't be expelled from the competition. So a very rocky start to the 20-team season. And Schnaz, this is where we're at. Like, you could see leading into, I guess, April 1st, 1995, the Super League had pretty much been discussed, you know, numerous times about something happening along those lines.
Do you ever yearn?
Yearn? Do I yearn?
I yearn.
You yearn?
Oh, yes. Yes, I yearn. Often I sit and yearn.
Brooksy, congratulations on a very succinct and knowledgeable catch-up on the history of Super League in a few minutes. That was fantastic. I appreciate it. Our league life, lockdown life, audience appreciates it too.
Schnaz, the thing is, I left so much out between 94 and 95. Just the back and forth that was going on between News, ARL, Rebo, bloody Marbo, everything. Like, there's just so much stuff in there. And if you delve deeper into podcasts and articles, like, it's like day by day, by week by day, there's so much. And I thought I'd try and give everyone the gist of the haps leading into April 1995 and why we were in a Super League war. But yeah, it's an intriguing, intriguing story.
Oh, fascinating. And I read a book about it probably about a year ago, which I've misplaced, which is killing me. But I think it was by Mike Coleman. It was a very much down the middle, no agenda, as far as I can tell, history of Super League. And if you can get your hands on that or any other material, it's a fascinating subject. And as we've seen, the subject in a lot of ways, you probably won't use those words, Super League, but the subject doesn't really go away, as you've pointed out.
You just see some of these things that I've talked about here just keep popping up. Just keep popping up every decade. It's like something that just won't go away. and it just cycles through. We start thinking about expansion into areas that we've either haven't expanded into yet, or in this case, places that we've already been. We talk about the condensing of Sydney quite a bit, teams merging. We've already had two of those situations, or we had three of those play out, Shanaz, since Super League. We've got the Illawarra and St George merging to form the Dragons. We've got the Tigers, Balmain Tigers and the Western Suburbs Magpies merged to create the West Tigers. And we had one of the worst mergers in sports history with Manly Warringah Seagulls and the North Sydney Bears merging, like, which basically ended up just turning into the Manly Seagulls again. So it's been some tough times. We've tried to condense the league, particularly with the Sydney teams. And, you know, the Dragons and the Tigers are somewhat successful stories. They've both won a premiership since merging. But we just keep coming back to that condensing of Sydney teams, and you just see some of the proposed stuff when you do a bit of research into the Super League war. You see like teams like the Roosters and Souths merging, which just, you know, in history sense, just cannot happen. It was like what I said with the Manly and North merger, just two teams that should probably have never merged in the first place, two enemies.
Well, Cronulla and the Dragons had some serious talks, I hate to tell you, Brooksy, and Cronulla and Souths had some serious talks as well. I think Souths were in talks with a lot of people, but the Manly-North thing, it does give me alarm bells, and it's the same when you can't mix two teams that hate each other and expect the best, at least over a short period of time. Over 20, 30 years might be a different story, but over a year or two, it's just going to be such hard work.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to like 95, Shanaz, and 96 and talk about those seasons that sort of, that were largely affected by Super League. Like 95 from memory was one of my favorite like on-field seasons with the 20 teams. You had a team in New Zealand. I remember seeing Brandy and Phil Blake running out for the Warriors. You had the Western Reds that first game against St George, like had ex-star Dragon Brad McKay over there leading the team. Mark Geyer over there, it was great. They ended up winning that game. They had a great season, the Western Reds. I think they'd won 11 out of 22 and were pretty much the most successful of the four expanding teams. I remember the Steelers were up for a good year that year. They didn't play too well. But and the Sharkies, they did all right, didn't they, Shanaz?
Oh, John Lang was starting to weave his magic. So it was a wonderful year for the Sharks. Perth, we often go back to talking about Perth coming back into the competition as recent as the last year. I think Peter Volandis has kind of put the kibosh on that short term. But they always talk about how they had an average crowd of 13,000 people that first year. And what could have been, and we've taken Origin there, we've taken other games there. Lately, though, Perth has quietened down, and I mean, you're an expansion man, I know that.
Yep.
You think it can still work?
Not in the current climate, to be honest, and I think it's something that we've got to be realistic with, but definitely, I think we talked about it a few years ago, Shanaz, about what I think they need to do with Perth. They need to sort of start, when the time is right and the financials are right, tap into South Africa, build up that local competition to be a feeder competition for a professional team to run out of Perth.
I recall
there's
this,
so much that needs to happen into Perth, and I don't think it's the right time to expand into Perth just yet. But yeah, like they had felt that they had the right time, and the results on the field for that one season did. The Perth franchise struggled thereafter, and it was due to the Super League war. And, you know, they were pretty much out of the comp after 97, out of that Super League, after the Super League year.
Yeah.
And it was really disappointing to see that. I remember, like, you know, they had a funky jersey, they had some good names over there that – The expansion of the ARL really brought over some of those stars that we saw in the mid-90s in England when we'd watch Kangaroo Tours. Just a couple that were off the top of my head. You had Andy Platt and Dennis Betts, English players that were over there, English players come that had come over for the Auckland franchise. You had a New Zealand legend in front of Bodica that went over to the Auckland Warriors as well in their first season. You had Barry John Mather at the I remember him from some of those games. Craig Innes came over to Manly in that time and was part of one of the best defensive teams in our era, that 95 Manly team. Yeah, it's just disappointing because the expansion had sort of worked and we were getting people from overseas. We're getting players in from the Pacific. We obviously opened up that channel of New Zealand to have their own side. But yeah, it was sort of doomed from the get-go because of what had been happening in 94. These teams had basically put in bids to come in the competition in 93 and 94. They were successful. 95 was going to be a massive for the competition. 20 teams in the new regions. And this was all just bubbling underneath. All this splitting the competition into two.
Yeah, and once the news broke in the media, I mean, back in the day, it was when you did read newspapers and anything you get your hands on, really, rugby league related, and it was everywhere, man. And obviously there were divides, like the Telegraph were pro, the Herald was not, and you had all that kind of politics. But it was fascinating to read, and the journos knew it was going on. Like they had the inside scoop and they had their allies, and so many fascinating stories came from pre-Super League and especially during, but you sort of hope that you'd never see that again from a fan point of view because it just caused so much divide. You know, you had ARL fans, you had Super League fans, you had someone who'd go for Canterbury would then give up because it's not the right thing, and then he'd go for St. George or... We had a discussion off air. I never related to that kind of thing. I was a Cronulla guy, and whatever they decided, well, that's where I was going. I couldn't change a lifetime, which at the time, you know, I was in my, I don't know how old I was, but I wasn't the age I am now. Obviously it was 25 years ago, but I'd still had a history of following this club. My family had, and I wasn't going to give that up for some sort of belief in a rugby league business, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying I don't understand people who did. I'm not knocking those people at all. I'm just saying I couldn't relate. And I knew people that swapped teams, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? How could you swap teams? Yeah. But they had their reasons. They had their reasons. And that's the sort of divide you saw. You also saw the divide of, you know, a few years later of people like yourself losing teams as a result of this failed competition, but failure of being able to run two separate competitions. So the game lost a lot of people in that time when I guess the whole aim of Super League was to bring the whole world together, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like even like 95, 96, those years as it sort of was starting the bubble, you know, Bulldogs won the premiership 95 and then shortly after, four of their stars left to go to Parramatta. I remember Dean Pay, Jared McCracken, Jim Dimmick. I've forgotten the other one. Who was the other one?
Pavarotti, Domingo, Pay, the other guy.
Jason Smith.
Yeah.
Jason Smith.
The most talented of them all.
So they all left. They won the Sydney Bulldogs, as they were known down there.
The Sydney Bulldogs.
I know. It was. Remember that fight for everyone wanting to be called Sydney? So there was the Sydney Tigers, Sydney Bulldogs, Sydney Roosters. You already had South Sydney. Like everyone was called Sydney because that was the catalyst of our team to them wanting only a certain amount of teams in Sydney. And I think brand of Canterbury or Balmain wouldn't have kept up in a national or multinational competition.
Somewhere around that moment, and I'm sure our Sharks fans will dial in.
Yeah,
the Cronulla Sharks became Sharks.
That's right, they did too. Yeah, this was some interesting branding over the times, and it was just obviously just
we've got to connect with San Jose.
Yeah, or just sharks in general. Like, just we're representing the ocean. We're not only representing Cronulla, we're representing the ocean, and we know the ocean is, and the Earth's predominantly ocean, so we have a good representation of the globe. But yeah, the 95, 96, interesting years, man. Like, it, we saw Manly and St. George in the final leading into Super League. We saw the sponsorship change from Winfield Cup to Optus as well. Like, it just started this massive divide in terms of the Packers came in and assisted the ARL. We already had the Murdochs on the other side. It just started a media war as well when Optus Vision was coming through to challenge Foxtel. Like, it was just a war, just not only on but off the field, and not only just in rugby league as well.
Yeah, and you've got celebrities' identities like Phil Gould just pretty much running the ARL show, signing everyone he could. And Super League had John Erebo starring for them. Some great stories out of that, Brooksy. Again, if you can get your hands on the book by Mike Coleman, you probably won't get a new edition of it, but it'd be on eBay for a little bit. It's really great read. And there's stories. We've all heard the stories about how the chief, Paul Harrigan, got the entire team into the minibus and drove the minibus down to Sydney and made sure everyone signed with ARL. There's story of Adam Ritson, who was the next big thing, and he was a shark at the time, and he was considered the next Artie Beetson. And the Sharks, I think, were playing, I want to say they were playing in Perth. There is a story about it. They were playing somewhere in the state, I think it was Perth. And after the game, they were told that they were all going to sign exclusively with Super League, including ET, because ET was one of the top three draw cards for Super League. And everyone was kind of down with it because of the money that was getting thrown around. And then Ritson rang his dad. Ritson would have been probably 17 at the time, I'm guessing. He rang his dad from Perth and said, "Hey, this is going down." And his dad said, "You're not to sign anything." And I think the club and definitely Super League people put the hard word on him and said, "Look, this is only for 24 hours. Otherwise, it's not going to exist." And he went, "You know, that's rubbish." And he ended up signing a huge deal with the ARL. I'm imagining he got more money, a short-lived career with the Eels due to injury. But a lot of the stories of the wrong players being signed for the wrong amount of money, guys walking out millionaires that really should have been offered $100,000. The money being thrown around was ridiculous. And it was all in such a hurry, Brooksy. It was like, we have to sign this guy. We're at the airport now. We've got to go to Melbourne Airport to sign this guy. And just, it was just chaos.
Yeah. And I remember 95 from like a Illawarra Steelers fan perspective. Like, we'd had that awesome season in 92 where we came third. 93 and 94, not as good, but we were still in the top half of the competition. And 95, we were in the thick of it. Our coach was spruiking Super League, the late Graham Murray, the late great Graham Murray. He was eventually sacked because Bob Millwood, the head of the Steelers, was very staunch ARL. They'd looked after Illawarra since 1982. Obviously Ken Arthurson was behind the team coming into the competition. It was a brutal time, man. Like, I was very much ARL because I knew the Steelers were aligned with them. But you look back, we only had 3 seasons after 95. We were merged by 99. We had to merge. We had no money. We had a good team on the park. We had talent. John Cross, one of our captains, was signed to Super League. I'm sure Graham was, he would have been straight to Johnny in discussions. He ended up at Penrith. We still, you know, a chunk of that 99 team of the Dragons was Wollongong boys, Illawarra players. It was just a tough time. And I remember watching that last game against the Bulldogs, and Luke Patton had an absolute blinder. Could have been the catalyst for him going to the Bulldogs. Yeah. But it was just like, and you had Trent Barrett absolutely killing it in 97 in his debut year. There was a game against the Knights where he just single-handedly defeated the Knights up there at Newcastle. There were some special players at Illawarra at the time. And me, like, going through the back end of high school during that time, watching these guys develop. People just in the schoolyard going, how good's that Trent Barrett guy that you've got? And how good's that Luke Patton? Like, Craig Fitzgibbon was playing at the Steelers in 99 as well. Obviously went on to bigger and better things in throughout his career. It was just disappointing, man. And I remember going to a game in 98 against St. George down at Wollongong, and it was just so much angst on the hill of St. George and the Illawarra fans just going, we're going to be together in this, but we're so far apart. And it just seemed like a natural merger in itself. And it was tough going through. Obviously, the Dragons have had some good years since as a merged entity, but man, I'll tell you right now, it was tough as a fan going through those last few seasons with the Steelers, even though they were probably the better years of their existence.
On the field, yeah. That's why, Brooksy, I'm so hesitant to have mergers. I'm so hesitant to have teams move. I'm so hesitant to have teams not be there anymore because, as we've seen in the last month with the crazy stuff that's going on around the world, these teams mean a hell of a lot to a lot of people. And that's not a reason
to... They certainly do.
It's not a reason just to keep something going. Like, I'm mature enough to understand that if, for example, a club is just bleeding money and can't make it back up and they're on the field's not great and the whole thing, culture, sponsor, whatever you want to... whatever demographic you want to throw in there, whatever category.
Yeah.
I understand that probably in the past there's some teams that were let go and maybe it was for the best, so to speak. But in the current day and age, with how attached people are in different ways, like it's a 24/7 love. You know, you can follow your team when they tweet every 20 minutes. You can watch videos, you can go to games, you can go to training sessions. Like it's basically an interactive experience being a fan now.
Yeah.
To remove that from one's life, as you've experienced, thankfully I have not. I've come pretty close, but I haven't experienced it. I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is tough. I've obviously got over it, or not obviously. I've somewhat got over it, but I think the thing is, having gone through it though, Schnaz, and just putting all the emotion out there with those times as a teenager, supporting a club since I was that little, like on the Gold Coast, like as a 5-6 year old in 1988 when the Giants started. My uncle was friends with some of the players of the Illawarra Steelers, and I got to go into the sheds and meet Michael Bolt and Chris Walsh and some of those iconic players of the Steelers that got me in as a Steelers fan at such a young age. And getting to that stage where I was in my teens and supporting this team that was a bunch of battlers, really. Like, we didn't really win much other than a Tui's challenge in 92. But I look back on all that and it's great to have that connection with the team, but we're in a position right now where we can ultimately change things and for the good of the game, the good of the competition. And I'd hate to see thousands of young rugby league fans go through what I've gone through, but there is a light at the tunnel. Like, I really enjoyed 2010 and I really enjoyed having that whole ride, it wasn't just 2010, it was 2009, it was 2005, it was 99, all as a supporter of a merged entity. If the merger's right, I think we need, and we definitely need to start culling teams in Sydney or merging teams in Sydney so that we can expand the competition. If clubs aren't viable, I just can't see the NRL just throwing money into those clubs just so that we keep history.
So you're talking merger, you're not talking extinction.
No, I did use cull, but I meant merge.
Yep.
I think, but you technically are. You
no, I understand that.
Existing team, right? So, like, you look at the Steelers, Like, they really, like, no one taught, all everyone calls them St. George or the Dragons.
Yeah.
It's great to hear St. George Illawarra from time to time, but we have lost that club. There was the Steelers in the New South Wales Cup, it was the Cutters in, I think it was 2016. I think they won the, was it 2016 or 2017? They won the national championship. They won the New South Wales Cup and went on to win the national championship. Mm. But the Steelers have lost their identity. There's people that just don't have a clue about who the Illawarra Steelers are or were. And it's disappointing, but at this stage you go, that's it. That's the evolution of rugby league. And if a team's not financially viable, I can't, and I know that all the pre-existing teams pretty much have a longer history than the Illawarra Steelers.
Mm.
But you can't just keep pumping money in them because history has them there. We need to think about the future, and we need to think about the game going forward, particularly with what's happening at the moment, Chaz.
No, I agree. I agree that...
Come out and said 20 teams for 2021.
Really?
16 teams. Sorry, my bad. Yeah. 16 teams for 2021.
Yeah.
You've got an opportunity here, Pete, to... You know, you're doing well with what's going on in terms of the chat and everything. You see where the league's going. This is a big opportunity in the future of rugby league to not do what the people in the past have done and spruiked it, but never really gone through with it and just expanded into other areas. It's an opportunity to get the game and right the wrongs of the past.
But if there was no coronavirus, would you still be singing this tune at this point of the season?
Probably, probably not.
Right.
I probably wouldn't, because the league has been strong the last few years, and I understand, like, yeah, the nature of what we do in TV and having 8 games a week has been great, and all 4 expansion, that second Brisbane team, the second New Zealand team, whether it's out of Wellington or wherever. Like, to get another game in the schedule is amazing. But, I think we can... Like, it's such a big talking point. I don't want to see teams go from the league. I want to see a bit of expansion. I love the fact that the Super League in England has been expanding into areas like Toronto and soon to be Ottawa and New York. Like, that's great. That's great for the game going forward. And I know some of the traditionalists in England have sort of, they've been very aggressively against what's going on there, and because it's taking away some of the traditional clubs, and that's the issue that we've had here. But I want to say, I love seeing 16 teams. I love seeing 8 games a week. I love the current format of Thursday, 2 Fridays, 3 Saturdays, 2 Sundays. I think that's great. It's great to work on. But yeah, like, I think we can sort of look at, you know, going in different areas, like Perth's an interesting one again. Can we go there? Should we go there?
Well, here's what's going to happen if all this was to take place. People in the media are going to have to stop banging on about tribalism and history and tradition.
Yeah.
Can they do that? Are they physically able to stop using those words? Because if you remove, I'm not even going to use the club's names, but if you remove 3 Sydney clubs, and, I mean, all the clubs have a pretty big history now, you're removing a lot of tradition, a lot of rivalry, a lot of, you know, you might be, for example, getting rid of a classic derby. I will tell you this, Brooksy, you're also going to lose some fans, and because not everyone's as sprightly as you, my friend.
No, and that's what the big thing about Super League was amongst friends and family. Like, I know a few uncles that were Western Suburbs Magpies fans that totally lost interest. I know numerous people, North Sydney fans, that we sort of lost along the way. I know some that took up another team. It's tough. You know, there's going to be collateral damage in a sense if you're going to go down this path. And that was the way inclined with Super League. I think they were always like, we want 12 teams, we want less teams in Sydney, we want better representation around Australasia. that was always the case. And it's funny because at the time I was totally against it. And now, like, looking at the grand scheme of things in terms of what could have been put in place, it's something that I would have enjoyed to see how it have played out. But it's also something that we keep talking about every yeah. year. There's some sort of Super League themed discussion around expansion, condensing. It's funny. And that's where it's like, we could be 25 years in now. It would have been interesting to see how it played out and where the game would be.
I'm all for, if teams can't afford to be, you know, doing things themselves, then I agree that the NRL shouldn't keep propping up clubs. I completely agree with that. And that's coming from someone who's had his club propped up from time to time. I think that this year, with the Corona stuff going down, there has to be a little bit of leeway and a little bit of sympathy. I don't think it could just be as cold as this team needs $500,000 to exist for the next month, otherwise they're gone. I don't think as a league we can be that cutthroat right now. If you're talking about in 2, 3, 4 years' time, it might be a different story. But as far as next year goes, man, I mean, I'd be pretty disappointed if all 16 aren't there.
It really depends on what's played this year too, Schnaz.
Yeah.
Like, it really does depend on that, because I read a figure that if we don't get a competition up and running this year, the NRL is going to have about $20 million to start with in 2021. We saw the AFL got bailed out with a line of credit from NAB and ANZ a couple of days ago to the tune of about $500 to $600 million. That's a line of credit. That's a debt that they're going to take, that they'll be able to utilize to be able to sustain their 18 team competition. They've based themselves quite well around Australia with two teams in Perth, Adelaide, Sydney, Queensland. They've got derbies there. It's a bit different for us. We've got less teams. We're going to potentially have a lot less money to play with if there's no competition here in 2020.
Yep.
Like I said before, I think it's an opportunity for Volandis to really, and Greenberg, to really look at where we are and what we need going forward. I get you. I hate to see teams locked out of competition and cut out, but I think this is an opportunity to strengthen the game long term if we do. And potentially bring in areas where more money can be brought into the competition.
I've just been thinking, Volandis has come out pretty much when he got the job and said that he's not, he's not really, he doesn't want to lose the 16 teams we have, including all the Sydney teams.
Yeah.
So we're guided by him now. He's the man in charge. If he's a man of his word and that's what he wants, I don't really see the expansion coming soon. I don't see the merging coming soon unless someone has to.
Yeah.
No.
That's it. Like, I'm not saying, my line here is not to just cut teams for the sake of it.
Yeah, I know.
I just think it's an opportunity to really evaluate what we've got at the moment and not to let history get in the way. Yeah. If we've got a team that's gonna cost a large amount of money consistently, then I think we've got to look at and see if it's viable. That team's viable going forward, or can we move that team to another area that has a market that we can sustain that end and sustain that history? Like, you know, the AFL moving South Melbourne to Sydney. You know, it was an opportunity to take one of those Victorian, Melbourne-based clubs and move it interstate. It's been quite successful, to say the least. I know Sydney's a bit of it's a big market. It's potentially the biggest market in Australia for them outside of Melbourne. But yeah, like, it's that's the sort of stuff we've got. I think we've got to start looking at all those things for the betterment of the league. We can't just go, oh, we'll just keep these 16 teams and we'll keep going post-Corona. But yeah, like, it's you look at, we just keep looking back at Super League, and it seems like we've had opportunity after opportunity to do it. And it's just the strength of the Sydney clubs have sort of, you know, stopped it. And, you know, we've done a few mergers and they've sort of been successful. And speaking as a Dragons fan, like, I think it's been a good natural merger. Yeah, I'm devastated that there's no Steelers, but at the same time, it's good to have at least a little bit of Illawarra still kicking on rather than none at all.
Yeah, but as you said before, there's not much there.
I know. I totally agree with that.
And you look at West Tigers, I mean, there's not much Magpie there. They play at Campbelltown, but...
Yeah, but there's not... I guess, like, they've got the Tigers brand there. Like, what... What do you think of West Tigers, Shanaz? Do you think of Balmain more so than West?
Tough question.
I put you on the spot there.
No, because I think it's genuinely a tough question. I would say it's probably 70-30, yeah, 70-30 Tigers in my head.
Yeah.
But they play at Campbelltown. They do have a history there. I don't know, man. It's a tough one. Just generally speaking, I know you and I wanted to talk more about Super League, which we might on another episode, but I guess the whole point of us doing Super League is getting it back to today's conversation in today's world about what's going to happen next year and years going forward.
Yeah.
And how, as you say, we keep asking the same questions about merging, about should we have a grand final somewhere else, about expansion basically of the game. I did want to tell you one story before I have to wrap up, and I've told it before on numerous platforms, shall we say, but it never gets old to me, at least. So if you want to skip forward about a minute and a half, you'll be sweet. But
this is what
Super League did to me, Brooksy. And it wasn't a purposeful way that I behaved. I wasn't angry at Super League or ARL. This is what happened to me in 97. I watched all the games. I had paid TV. I still love footy. I love the Sharks. I went to one game, man. Now, I had spent my life going to games. You know, when I was a wee little thing, my brother would take me to all three grades of the Sharks. Like, I'd be there at midday. We'd be there at 11:30 with the gates, get our seats. I wouldn't leave till 5:30. And I'm talking year in, year out. You know, in your teenage years, you discover rock and roll. You discover girls that won't talk to you. It's a bit different. But you still go to the footy and you have a great time.
I still haven't discovered that, Shanaz.
Yeah, but 97, I went to one game, and it happened to be the game against the Rams, and the Rams at the time were filled with about seven former Sharks, including, I believe, your Robbie Kearns and those kind of characters. He was the highest profile. Yeah. The rest were pretty much bums. But but that team of bums beat my team at Shark Park. It was a dreadful game. It was probably half full on a Saturday night, I think it was. I've talked about this with you before. We've seen footage of the Matty John show. The halftime entertainment was a spaceship hanging off the side, hanging off the side of the ET stand. That was the halftime entertainment. That was Super League. My point is, I went to one game all year, and I don't have fond memories of it. We made the grand final. I remember watching the grand final. I was amped for it. It was a grand final. It was the first grand final that I had experienced in my life as a Shark. And we lost. We got done like a hot dinner. It hurt at the time. But in hindsight, to be honest, I don't really care. And I'm not saying that because we won one since. It just, that year to me, is it's like this year. It's a write-off. You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't, and I know John Rebo would be sad hearing that, but it just doesn't mean that much to me. I will say this. I'll say that the money they made from the competition, the Sharks, prolonged their life and pretty much saved them. So I'm thankful they went that way. But that's just my little experience of the Super League year.
Yeah. Well, that's the way I feel with the Dragons, but totally opposite. Like, we stayed with the ARL. We stayed loyal. We lost our greatest ever coach. And we merged 3 years later. Like, it's a big what if we went to Super League, because, you know, but they had a meeting with Illawarra. They said how important it was to the competition to have that team that represented the South Coast, Wollongong, the Illawarra region. And unfortunately, we didn't go that way. I understand why we went that way. But, you know, it's a massive what if for Steelers fans if we do go to Super League and we keep that those young stars and we keep that junior base. But, you know, the 13, 14, 15-year-old in me is still happy that we stayed ARL.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we, you know, you look in hindsight and you go, could have gone a different way.
It could have.
But yeah, it's interesting. We just scratched the surface, Schnaz. Like,
I know.
We really did.
We did have so many stories. We did have to tinker off into other areas because of it. But we do want to promote someone else's podcast, don't we?
Yeah, the Rugby League Digest. And I had a look. They're 18 episodes deep at the moment into Super League, Super League Chronicles.
I'm a listener. I'm a listener. I'm a subscriber. Yeah. And they do it really well. Yeah. And the word thorough comes to mind.
I didn't want to listen to any of it before we did ours. I didn't want to regurgitate anything that they said.
Theirs is way better.
I know.
I'm kidding. Brooksy's, theirs is dedicated. Their podcast is about that. Ours is not about that, obviously. But yeah, we do want to say go listen to those guys if you do have more interest in Super League. Like I said, go look up a few books. Just go online and read some old newspapers. You'll be able to tell which side's Murdoch and which side's Packers. But I mean, I'm sure we might get back into it another episode, Brooksy.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's just like looking through everything that you could have looked at and observed and absorbed and all the information that's there. There's numerous hundreds, thousands of bits of media that you go and have a look at on Super League the years prior, during and post. Like, didn't even touch on the international, what was it? The World Club Challenge.
Yep.
Some of the biggest scores in rugby league history. some of the greatest tries, some of the greatest bomb tries. I remember Russell Richardson bombing a couple in that competition, or maybe just the one.
Yeah.
It was great. I remember there was like half my mates had Foxtel, the other half had Optus Vision. One of my mates' dad was actually knee deep in Super League in '97. Neil. You'd know him, Neil Wicker.
Neil Wicker.
He took over from Ken Arthurson for the ARL. There's some crazy stories there in terms of him, basically getting the hand pass from Arthur.
Yeah.
To look after the competition.
Yeah.
So
what we should do, Brooksy, is we should set up some interviews with some other people who are more knowledgeable about this. And what I mean is people who went through it. So we know a few journos, we know a few players, ex-players.
Yep.
Maybe a few admin guys. Maybe that's a project we can work on over the next few weeks or months. We're going to wrap this one, Brooksy, but we'll be back before you know it, talking about other rugby league things. And if you have, if anyone wants to talk more about the Super League, then please write to us. Brooksy, if you have more to say on it, please don't hesitate in other episodes to do so. But we are on all of your podcast platforms. We are on all of your favorite social medias at League Life NRL. Is that right, Brooksy? At League Life NRL?
League Life NRL on the Twitter, the Insta, and the Facey.
Excellent. We want to say thanks for listening, don't we, Brooksy? I'm prodding you.
Yeah, why not? No. Yeah, it's been good. I'd love your feedback on it. There's probably some things we didn't get to talk about, and we'd love to hear some of those moments that we haven't really touched on. Obviously, time dependent here doing this podcast, but it's good to sort of get the juices flowing and talk about it, Schnaz. I think I'd love to talk about some of these clubs that people don't know about, go into deep dive into their existence, and particularly the Crushers. Love the Crushers. Love their jersey. Love how they tried to recruit a few rugby players.
Well,
tried to take over Brisbane. It was, it's great. Because we could see it again in the near future.
Your dream come true of deep diving on old clubs no one knows about might come true. We might have been a time up
footy out cards, so. Favourite footy cards of that era.
I love footy cards. Brooksy, if anyone wants to get in touch with us, we can we'll address that feedback and mail on the next episode. We'll get into it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for your Brooksy, thanks for your studying. I really appreciate it. Very knowledgeable.
I tried my best.
All you can do. All you can do is your best.
It's so extensive. It should be a university degree.
I think it is.
There you go.
The School of Hard Knocks. all right, Brooksy, I'm going to go conduct some business, and I will see you later.
Marcus, bye for now.